Tony.
What's up? What's up, Carlos?
Okay, this is like an awkward start because we have no proper start to this, but welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the very first episode.
Yeah.
Let's go, bro.
Yeah. All right. So to all our friends listening, so like the three people listening that we sent the link to,
this is what happens when you let the 3 a.m. ideas come to life. This is when they leave your head and actually become a reality.
Hey, man, it's all right. All right, so everyone listening, I have no name of the show. Like, nothing is officially official. Like, we're just starting a podcast, and yeah. So hopefully you're, like, listening, driving on the way to work and wondering why you're wasting your time listening to us. but we're just going to get off rip. We have no script. We literally have, Tony, like, am I lying? Like, we have no script.
No script, nothing. We're freeballing this whole thing. We are just completely being led by the Holy Spirit, so.
Yeah, so, I'm Tony. Well, people don't know me, my voice is, okay. I actually messed that up.
Yo, that's crazy. I thought he was actually, like, trolling.
All right, now, I'm Carlos. All right, let me be serious. Let me lock it. All right, too much. I'm Carlos.
I'm Tony.
And this is something I just started, so.
Yeah.
I have no official endpoint. We're just going to start a conversation, you know, that revolves around God and, you know, what he's done in our lives, how he's impacted us in different ways, and just also talk about our past experiences. And, all right, we've already wasted like a minute just BSing. So
let's not waste any more of your time. Let's get right into it.
Do you want me to ask you something or do you want to ask me something?
Go ahead. I feel like you got something to say.
Okay.
Let the people hear you.
I want to get into how you and me both got into God to begin with.
Okay, cool.
Even though we obviously both know each other's stories.
Sure.
But right now, off the gate, because you're not ready, I want to ask you, what is something you're struggling with right now? When it comes to your walk and your faith, what is something you're struggling with right now?
All right, so like, just quick context. I told him, ask me anything and I want to be thrown off. And he already threw me off with the first question. Something I'm struggling with, not making idols in my life. I think I'm struggling with that. Mm-hmm. I think I've been getting better, but it's because of good people around me. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I've truly begun to really like become thankful for, which is good company and like good community. Because people will point it out and you got to get called out sometimes and you got to make sure your motives are in the right place, you know? And like, sometimes you can think you're doing something for God and like for a good reason. And it's like, you're doing it for an ulterior motive and like, you can make anything an idol, which is crazy. Right? You can make a church an idol, a pastor an idol. And it's like, that doesn't sound bad, but it's like, it is. Like, God said, you will have no idols before me. So, like, so it's really important. Or a girlfriend, whatever it is. Like, you know, say you're going to church and all of a sudden now you're singing really loud with your hands up, but it's because, like, there's a baddie to your right. Like, that's an idol right there. You have created an idol because you're not worshiping God for the right reasons, you know, or like you're reading your Bible, you're praying. So it's like, I think that's something I'm becoming more conscious of is doing things for the right reasons. Like, let me get right for God and let me not do it for an ulterior motive. But now that I've answered the question, let's turn it back to you, bro. What is something in your life right now that you are currently struggling with?
The reverse.
Yes, sir.
What do I say? I would say just not like being comfortable in my sin, because I feel like lately I have to remind myself, like, it's not okay to run to this. It's not okay to think like this. It's like stagnant somewhere, but just reminding myself, like, I don't run to this. I'm supposed to run to this. Or like, when I'm thinking like this, stop sitting here and think about it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if I'm making sense. Like, just stop sitting in my sin and feeling comfortable there.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So, like a comfort thing. Like, you're, like going to your sin for comfort instead of God.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder if anyone's listening, like, yo, he sounds like such a rookie.
No, I mean, you're good, bro. Listen, I think that the beautiful thing is that everybody comes with different backgrounds and different experiences, but, like, collectively, we make each other better through God. And I think it's just the most awesome thing that we can all be different but be part and under one body, which is just beautiful. I'll ask you a question now since
okay,
you know, as my turn. Let's see. What would you say is the hardest thing about dating as a Christian? Are you, first of all, are you seeing anybody? Are you single? Are you dating? Let's start there, and then we'll work our way to the question.
I am not seeing anyone right now. I'm not dating anyone right now.
Okay, okay. So you're single. All right. Yeah. And would you say it's like hard to date as a Christian? Like, are you out on the market right now looking for somebody?
Or? No, I'm not actively looking right now.
Okay.
I just got out a little something. So okay, I'm not actively looking.
That's healthy.
Yeah, I'm not actively looking. But hardest thing about dating as a Christian, like sex just goes to the top of my mind, right? Like, it's just like, I'm just being real. Like, it just goes to the top of my mind, right? Because now real. You have two people that both know it's wrong before marriage.
Yeah.
But like, it's your girlfriend, you know, you have like one-on-ones with her often. Like, you know what I mean? There's like, I'm gonna just spit it out. Right? I don't know why I'm trying to think too much. Yeah, like, there's lines you flirt with that you don't even know you're flirting with. There are lines you flirt with that you know you're flirting with. Like, like, I think that's like the, like, one of the hardest things. And like, it's like a natural desire for both of you. Like, it's a natural desire.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's like, I literally, that's just, what's the hardest thing? I think, like, probably that, you know, because we're, you know, we're in our early 20s, mid-20s. Like, you know, this is like, you know, our bodies, like, you know. So I don't really have to say too much. I think that's it. But,
okay, so
what about you?
I was going to ask real quick before we flip it on me. Okay. What is like, what tips do you have then for people struggling with that? Like, if, or is it something you're still struggling with, or,
like, that is something, I don't mean to cut, that's something I have yet to master, because I've never been in a relationship with someone who was like equally devoted, equally yoked, whatever. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I've never been in a relationship. It was like, so my last relationship, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it was like, I just failed a lot. Like, that's all I'll say. Yeah. I did not master it, so that's why I don't want to speak too much on the advice side. What I will say is, being on it like a single standpoint and looking back at my mistakes, I think that what should have been done, if we were both, it's just like, you got to set a lot of boundaries, but boundaries you stick to, because it's so easy to be like, it's huge. Like, it's so easy to be like, you know, like, all right, we're not going to see each other naked or anything because blah, 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 right? But you've been dating for a while, you know, y'all extremely comfortable with each other. Like, you might be comfortable shirtless around her. She might be comfortable, like, pantless. Or, like, I'm not trying to get too graphic into this, but, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, and then next thing you know, like, I don't know, like, she's at your house and she got to take a shower, or, like, you got to take a shower at her house. And it's like,
yeah.
See, now, like, now it's like, now you flirting with boundaries you don't even know you flirting with. And, like, you know, it's just like, it's hard. It's not easy. I'm not telling when it's easy. Like, you can master it. Maybe you can. I don't know. But, like, for me, it's like, that's any advice I'd have to give. But I'm reluctant to give that because I have not mastered it myself yet.
I think that's really good advice, though. I think that if I were to give any advice, it would be boundaries. I feel like where boundaries are healthy, and you should have them with everybody. You should have things that, you know, people should respect about you, because people who love and respect you will follow your boundaries.
W.
And, you know, it's something that, you know, we should all have, that, you know, it's like to help us to, in our walks, you know, because everyone's different. Some people aren't easily triggered by certain things and they're very resilient, but other people might be weak. And if that's that person, you should respect them, because, you know, we're all on this journey together.
W.
Yeah.
W. Because you're like a biblical connoisseur, and I feel like you could just spit a lot of verses just from your dome. Are there any verses that come to mind? I'm really putting you on the spot here. I'm putting any, and it's okay if not. Like, I'm not trying to, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to, like, anything that comes to your mind.
Like, regarding what?
Just relationships and anything, like, any verses that have helped you in relationships, or like that you think going in for, like, going into your next relationship, that, like, anything you want to keep in mind?
I mean, yeah, there's, like, you know, like, obviously, like, the go-to's, like, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, people talk about a Proverbs 31 type of woman, obviously. But I would just say that if I'm going to give genuine advice, like, if I was, like, could go back to myself, right? Funny enough, right? I might not be the expected answer, But I would say the first relationship you should focus on is your one with Jesus. And if I were to go anywhere, I'd read the Gospels first, understanding Jesus, because he's the ultimate example of what a husband should be. And like, he lays it out in such a beautiful way, like how about how the church is his bride.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Jesus do for the church? He sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
So a man should be sacrificial in his love to his wife.
Yeah.
He should be the protector and be right there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does the church do in response to Jesus' sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
We submit to his authority.
Yeah.
And so that's what a woman should be, is submitting to the authority of with Jesus, right? And so mm-hmm. like, and so if we're submitting to Jesus as a church, then a wife should submit to her husband, right? Obviously, again, we're implying that like these people are equally yoked and are treating each other well, you know, because yeah. I would say you don't want to blur the lines, you know, you don't want to start justifying things, justifying bad behavior from people because they're your husband or whatever, because, you know, the Bible also says, right, husbands should lead their wives to do the right thing, to follow, you know, godly footsteps, righteous footsteps.
Okay.
So, you know, I would say that, yeah, that would be, if I was going to talk about scripture, I would say get your relationship with Jesus right first, because he's going to teach you everything about being a man, or, you know, teaching women how to, you know, be, as a response to, like, you know, a husband, how to be a good wife, you know. So I'd start there, because that's the healthy portion. If you don't got Jesus there, then, you know, your relationship is going to suffer greatly, because the true definition of love for me comes from Jesus Christ. And you will never find a love better than that. And if you could even just try to imitate Jesus' love in your relationship, you'll love 100 times better.
That is a... except I want to clap right now, but we have like $30 mics. Like, I want to clap right now for that answer. That was a good answer. I'll give you that. I want to preface again, nothing is prepared. Like, you just spit that off your dome. Like, you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing is prepared. Like, I don't have questions prepared. We did not see each other's questions, or like, nothing. Like, I don't know what you're about to ask me. You have no idea what I'm about to ask you. Like, you literally got to my house. We talked for like 5 minutes and got straight into this.
Yep.
And I barely talked to you today. Like, this is crazy. So
it is.
So.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, we're rookies. Did you ask me a question, or did I ask you a question?
I started with me asking, like, what do you find, like, challenging about dating as a Christian?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I fired back and asked you, like, something about, like, you know, from the Bible. Like, well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's back on you.
Oh, it's back on me? Okay, all right. Well, let's get it. All right, Carlos. Let's shift the subject for a second, right? Just we're on a podcast,
I'm
right?
I'm ready.
We're on a podcast, mm-hmm. So... let me ask you, who would be your dream person to have on here? Like, assuming that one day we have more than 3 listeners.
George Janko.
No, that's a W choice.
Probably because I listen to him. Yeah. He's probably a guy that listened to him a lot. And so for cool. funsies, Pedro Pascal.
Okay.
Go to an actor, Pedro Pascal. He seems funny. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of similarities between me and bros, so.
Yeah.
You know yeah. That's where I'd go.
If you guys didn't know, Carlos is an aspiring actor.
So. I feel like you just called me broke.
Listen, you're aspiring until you make it.
You just said I'm a broke failure.
Look, bro, like, you're aspiring until you make it. So I'm not. That doesn't mean he's not good. I mean, every actor was aspiring at one point.
Yeah.
So,
what are you inspiring to be, Tony? I'm curious.
I'm inspired to be a man of God every day. I think that's just like my first. I know it might sound corny, it might sound like I'm trying too hard, but like, in all honesty and all seriousness, from the bottom of my heart, more than anything in this life, I just want to be what God wants me to be, and whatever God tells me to, even if it's just like God's like, Tony, your main purpose in this life will be to hold the door at the church, then I'll hold the door as best as I can. Because it reminds me of a story in the Bible of the sons of Korah, when they're like, they hold the doors, like their door, or sorry, don't hold the doors, they're doormen at the temple.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who say that famous line where like, one day in your court is 1,000 elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the gratitude to their heart over like just the position that they hold to be with God. And so, yeah, I feel like you can have all the temporary pleasures of the world, but Jesus said it better, best, like the best, which is, what is a man to gain, you know, if he like gains the world but loses his soul. So like, I never want to have that happen. And I've actually, funny enough, I have like, you know, I've definitely hit rock bottom seeking the world. And I think that suffering is a really important thing as a believer. It is tough because, you know, nobody likes to suffer, but it teaches us, you know, gratitude to, towards God and obedience. And I think that these rock bottoms have taught me to be appreciative. And so, yeah, I'd rather serve God because, funny enough, I've had like been in times of just rock bottom, but once I find God, I'm happier than I was when I was doing whatever I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, not trying to live that King Solomon life, you know, trying to live the blessed part of that life, you know? So it really, whatever God wants for me, and it can be, you know, working in a church, and I wouldn't even worry about the pay, you know, money's really like to me second in this life. So
when you have like all the money in the world, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not talking about me. yes, you know, like, I mean, God has all the money in the world, not me.
You don't need it, bro.
Definitely not like that. But I think, if anything, that speaks more to it, right? I will say I am blessed to have a good job that pays me well.
Yep.
And I would give it up if God called me to do something
else. Of course.
And, yeah, I don't think that there's anything better than serving God. Way better than being given compensated with money.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, again, like, I'm not going to clap, but I'm mentally clapping after every answer.
This guy.
I'm fake clapping in front of you right now with my hands. I'm fake clapping.
This guy, he gasses me too much. All right.
Hit me.
All right, I got you.
Hit me. Shoot from the hip. Just hit me. Just say it right now.
We're going to start getting spicy.
Just say it, bro. Just say it. Just say it right now. Don't even think. Just say it. Put me on the spot. I don't care.
Okay. What is the hardest thing you feel that you've had to give up to God? What was the most difficult thing?
The hardest thing I had to give up to God.
Yeah.
It's a doozy.
It is.
Because I feel like I have to give up a lot of things.
Yeah,
that's and true. I'm constantly having to give up these things every day. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what do I want to say? Like,
Which one did you have the hardest time, like, letting go of? I'm sure some of them came easier than others.
Yeah, probably. This is just the answer that came to the top of my head, and I've struggled with it.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Is it music?
No. Okay. Oh, wait, that's a good one, too. Oh, yeah, I'm just terrible. Wow, I didn't even think about it. I was going to say cussing. Like, that was a lot. That was a big one
for me. Oh, that one is a big one.
That was cussing for me. I don't know if it's, like, the definitive number one, but it's up there. Definitely, like, anything lustful, like, was hard.
Okay,
Because I was, like... Because I was one of those people that tell you, like, oh, no, like, it's scientifically healthy. Like, you got, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was bad, bro. I was bad. I was really bad. Like, I used to be like, no, like, you have to, bro. It's a natural body. Like, you have to let it out. Like, I'm going to just shut up. Music, that's cussing. I put music on there, too, though. Music, cussing, and, like, honestly, those are my big three, Kendrick. Like, yeah. These are my big three.
That one was hard for me. That's why I asked you. Because
giving
up music... It's just like, it's sometimes you get in that vibe, you know, where like, or you go to the gym and you're like, I'm not trying to listen to Brandon Lake at the gym right now. You're just like, this isn't I can't speak. This isn't hyping me up.
That's okay.
And
can't speak. It's only a podcast.
Literally the only thing I'm supposed to do right now, and I can't do it. Anyways, like, it just sometimes doesn't hit, but I don't know. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion because people tell me they love worship at the gym, which is like, I love worshiping, but sometimes, you know, it's like, all right, I want to cry, and then like, you know, we're like, I want to like get hyped, and it's like, you had those like specific songs and playlists, you know?
Yeah. No, those are my big three.
Okay.
All right. I would ask you the same thing we just talked about, so let me shoot from the hip. What could I ask you right now? Let me just shoot from the hip right now. Let me throw you off a guard. Like, just, you're not even
come
ready.
On, bro.
Like,
let's
what
go.
Could I
let's
say? What
it.
Could
let's
I say?
Get it. Take the gloves
what
off.
What is, I don't want baby answers. Like, I have nothing prepared. Like, I have no questions written down on my phone, nothing.
Yeah.
I would just say, I like where I'm going with this.
Ooh.
Okay. Go back to, okay, wait, I think I'm changing my answer on my question on the spot.
Okay.
Okay. From now to the beginning of the year, go back to 2024, January, Tony. All right. New year, new ambitions, new goals, new disciplines you want to put in set. What is one thing you think you, like, if July 2024 Tony had to check in with January 2024 Tony, that the beginning of the year you would be disappointed in? Like, you didn't do that yet, or like, you didn't lock in on that, or like, you promised you was going to do that by that time, like, you didn't do that yet? Like, what would you say is something that, like, is it like weird to word it like your biggest failure of the year? Not that it's a failure, but just something that you haven't locked in by now that you think you would have locked in by now. Is that a terrible question? I literally just made that up.
It's funny because I was thinking and I was like, what could I say? And it came to me.
Okay.
I got it. Fasting. I have tried fasting so many times this year, and you don't know how many times I failed. And it's embarrassing at this point that we're at this point of the year, and I can't think of a successful fast that I've had. And like, what I mean by successful is I have a goal in mind and I don't hit it. Like, yeah, I probably went like a few days not like just water only. But to me, it's like, if I'm like getting into a fast and like I have I want to call it a goal because I feel like that sounds bad, but like if I'm like you know, trying to make this commitment to God that I'm gonna do like say 5 days, I want to do 5 days, and if I don't hit 5 days, I consider that a failure.
Yeah,
I'm of course, you know, like, I'm not saying a complete failure, but I'm just saying like, obviously I'm not achieving what I'm trying to achieve, right?
Yeah.
Which is like to strengthen my faith and reliance on God, and like you know, push my faith. So yeah, I would say that would be my thing, that if I had to go check in and tell myself, be like, dude, get it together, because we're in July and we still have not successfully done a fast yet. Yeah. Like, we have tried and failed multiple times. That would probably be mine. Okay, what is the biggest lesson you've learned this year?
The biggest lesson I've learned this year.
I feel like this year was like a big year of you learning lessons. Cause like, that's what I was saying. Cause like, I mean, I've been with you this whole year, and I feel like you learned a lot of lessons this year.
Yeah, I learned a lot. It's so weird. I wouldn't even like, it's like lessons like, yeah, I know. But it's like, no, you're going to live them now though. Like, you're going to really know.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I just take it back to the baby steps. Like, my relationship with God, like, if that's not number one in my life and my strongest, like, all the other ones are gonna fail. Like, everything else is, like, if that's not solid,
yeah,
if nothing else will be, like, it's just like, not like it, I just can't. And I feel like I've been just really, especially the last couple months, like, really, like, locking in on that and not be bitter about like how other things turned out, and like, just, you know, not trying to just be bitter how other things turned out. And like, just focusing on my soul relationship with God, and like, where's any chinks in the armor? Like, where's any cracks in the foundation that I haven't been, you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, cause yeah, I'm not trying to like over talk and over explain, even though it's a podcast and you only talk and it's my show and I can say whatever I want to say, but I'm trying to be courteous.
I want to say, I think you're just trying to like, admit certain details to not get into things. Yeah. Okay.
This is episode one, baby. You're not going to get my darkest secrets yet.
Yeah, for real. You got to tune into the second episode.
At least three. We got to break 5 viewers, bro.
We got to get you guys something to, like, get excited for. Like,
yeah.
We can't just give it all to you in the first episode. Yeah.
Let's ask Tony a good question.
Please.
Wait, it's my turn to ask you, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, ask me one, bro. We should have prepared a little bit because now we're just wasting time.
It's all good.
All right, let me just go with. I just talked to this about Ryan. Wait, we wasn't supposed to name drop, but it's okay. I mean, he don't mind being name dropped. I guarantee he doesn't even mind being name dropped. All right, so I was just talking about this with Ryan, right?
Shout out my dog, and Ryan.
There's like the major three like disciplines. There's other ones, but like it's like worshiping, praying, and like reading, right?
Okay.
It is no secret that I struggle with reading.
Yeah.
Like, I hate reading. There's no other way to put it. Like, I hate reading. I don't even read things I have to. Like, it's not even, like, a joke. Like, it's bad. Like, at most, I'll skim through things. At most.
Yeah.
But I would say that's the struggle for me. Like, that out of them three, I feel like that one's the hardest for me. And worshiping and praying is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, not the easiest, but easier than reading for me.
Yeah.
Out of them three... For you, what would you say is like a hard one?
I think that it's changed a lot over time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in this current season of my life, funny enough, the thing I'm struggling with is worshiping. And I say it's funny because I worship, but I'll be honest with you, I sometimes listen to secular music.
Oh my!
I know. Yo, I know.
Rebuke.
I know. Yo, I know.
Heresy.
Yeah.
Fallacy. Heretic. All the words. Rebuke.
I know. Please, everyone listening to this, pray for me.
smite. Please.
I slip up and I listen to secular music sometimes.
I'm condemning you. You're being condemned. Live.
And
I guess I just committed a sin that too.
All right. You just saw a sin being committed live on air.
Okay. That's a great start.
And I think worship, because like I said, I feel like worship should be my go-to in every form of if I want to listen to music, it should be worship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in anything we do, we should try to glorify God and even with the things we listen to. And I know this can go into a whole subject in itself about, is listening to secular music a sin, right? I mean, can you listen to things and it not be a sin? Sure, but is it wise? And that's what we should ask ourselves. I'd say no, because it's the subject matter, right? It's, you know, when you think about it, it's like you're hearing people curse, probably. Depending on the type of music, they could be talking about things that are inappropriate or things that you're not focused on and don't align with your goals. And listening to those things are going to be negatively influencing you. And like almost just like a subconscious thing of like, you know, where it like puts thoughts in your head that might not have been there before. So I think secular music, yeah, it should be something we should stay away from. And that's me not trying to, this is me just being vulnerable and honest with you guys, which is, you know, telling you guys that's something that I don't think we should do. Right. And that's why I'm saying like, it's something I struggle with because, mm-hmm. I feel like it can get in the way of our walk, you know, and like our relationship with God, because like, you know, there are times where you're putting on secular music instead of listening to, you know, or like singing to Jesus, you know, and like at the end of the day, that's got to come first, you know, and like, you know, I don't know, I just think it's weird, like, you know what I'm saying? If you're listening to Ice Spice or listening to the Kendrick beef on your way to church, you know, you're just hearing somebody being called A minor, and then you're walking into church to worship. It's crazy.
Can I admit something?
Not that I do that, but I'm saying like that. Can you just imagine?
Can I admit something?
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's my turn. I have probably listened to one of these artists on the way to church before.
Well, that's like, crazy. Never mind. We don't have to imagine. Somebody's lived it out for us.
I'm just trying to be honest, bro. Okay, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm not proud of it. I'm not trying to say like it's okay to do that because it's not. But it's like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I've probably done that.
We got to get right in on this then. Let's listen. We got to get the POV going right now.
Okay.
Because I said, can you imagine? Let us know. What goes through your head when you listen to I presume Ice Spice on your way to church? like how does Dude, it feel going from like, that to walking into church?
I don't know. I definitely feel like, yo, what am I doing? But it's like, oh, but this is so catchy though. Like, oh, like, or yeah. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's popping right now for a reason. Like, it's hot right now for a reason. So it's like, you know, it's like, I don't do it with like, yeah, like, nah, yeah. Like, I'm defying the church. Like, I'm gonna listen. No, it's just kind of like stuck in my head, or it's catchy. Like, okay, that low key would slap right now. I'm not gonna lie to you. Or like, that low key, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, okay.
So and then, but I do feel like, oh wait, I'm going to church. Or like, I just got out of my car. Now I'm on church grounds, and it's like, what was I just like? Oh man, now I'm about to go like sing like, you know, like like Firm Foundation. Like
I'm gonna say all of a sudden you can't even sing a Christian song. All of a sudden doesn't know anything.
This is a lot of pressure being on here, bro.
It's funny because all you would have had to say was like, Jesus, I love you. That's probably in like five songs.
Bless God is stuck in my head right now, though.
So, well, I'm glad you feel conviction. That's a great sign.
I'm such a rookie, bro. People are listening to me like, oh, he's such a rookie, bro. What does he know?
No, listen, man. Listen, we're all in different places. And guess what? We all help different people.
Yeah.
And that's great. And this is what we're here to do, which is, you know, to bring people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really voice your opinion on the matter. What do you think when it comes to secular music? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it as a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Should Christians listen to it? Is it a sin? What are your thoughts?
I hope I don't get fried for this, but like, to my knowledge, there is no specific scripture saying like anything that's like not a hymn to God is like a sin. And you know what I'm saying? There's no, like, am I wrong there? Like, I'm not wrong. Like, there's nothing specific, but it's like things you have to be careful with. And you're pulling out your phone right now and you're making me scared. Like, did I just totally misquote something?
No.
But like, no, I'm gonna finish my answer and you correct me if I'm wrong afterwards. Suddenly I have like suddenly every answer I say I'm nervous, like I forgot all my scripture. Anyway, but I'm gonna say but you do have to like be careful with what you're listening to. Like these, like what was a big thing for me was rap music, and like it promotes like three things, like sex, like drugs, money, and like killing. You know what I mean? Like four things. Like it's like the same four things in every song. And if all four of those are not in a song, best believe like one of the four at least are in a song or about a song. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's all the same thing. And it like really messes with you in like such a minimal way that you don't even think about. Like I remember, do you remember when the church was doing like the fast, like yeah. the month fast for like leading up to Easter or something?
Yeah.
I think I want to say perfect. Like not listening to rap music, like not throwing it on, like not intentionally throwing it on, right? And it was like I felt more like calm and more peace. Like I wasn't like on go, like you know, anytime any place somebody want to do something, like what up? Like I was just like calm, and I felt more peace and at ease in my drives and just in my day and my thoughts. Like that actually helped with the cussing too, because now I'm not listening to every other word being a cuss word, and I'm maybe not repeating it, singing out loud, but like that stuff like will be in your mind and sit there and be around you. Like now I'm not, it's like it definitely has a positive effect when you take that stuff out of your life. And I'll say this because I was doing another fast. No, I'm sorry. Was I? I think I was doing another fast from that type of music, like from rap music. Okay. Like I was trying to fast rap music again, and I was doing good, and then for some reason I was like, you know what, this one song is like stuck in my head for some reason, or like I just really want to listen to this one song, like whatever, I just threw it on, right?
Yeah.
And I kid you not, it was so weird. It's like an instant effect I had. I went from like having a nice peaceful calm ride to I threw this one rap song on, and now like I'm gonna sound like insanely crazy. Now I'm having like a fake argument inside my car where like I'm mentally preparing to cuss somebody out if I were ever in front of this person having an argument about this topic that's in my head. And now I'm just getting mad for no reason.
Yeah.
And like I remember just like I was like, no, you said what? Like I was just like going down this argument in my head. And then I remember just catching myself like, whoa, like wait, what am I doing? Like I'm just catching myself arguing and ready to like pop off on someone in a situation that's like probably never going to happen. And like it's like it was just crazy because I was just like, whoa, like this all come from this one song just because I threw it off, and this song is like, you know, like angry and violent, blah 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 blah, and doing, it's just like crazy. And that's when I realized like, nah, this music has some effect that I just don't fully understand yet, or like you can't even see the effect it has fully. So it's like, nah, I cut it off and I was like, nah, I'm not doing that again. Cause like, it's like, I got a live representation of what it can do.
See, that's my point. That's what I mean. Like I feel that that's what secular music can do, is like, it can kind of put your head somewhere that it wouldn't have gone before. You know?
Yeah.
Like I'll speak for myself, at least by saying this, when I'm listening to Christian music, I like to think of God. And when you're thinking of God, it's hard to think of sinful things, you know? And so, yeah, I would say that, I think we're like pretty similar in that regard. I don't even remember whose turn it was. Is it yours or mine? We don't really got to go back and forth.
Yeah. I'll shoot. I mean, to end my point, if I didn't, like, again, I don't, to my knowledge, there's not like a specific scripture that's like, if it's not like a worship song to God, it's a sin. But I also think there's scriptures where it's like, be careful what you put in your mind, what you hear, what you're around, because, like, you know, not like in a way, like when Paul said, I think it was like, I don't even remember what it was. It sounded like, bro, this is so much pressure because I literally quoted the scripture earlier to somebody, and now I don't even know what it is. But it's like where it's like, bad company corrupts good behavior.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's in Corinthians, isn't
it? I knew it was in Corinthians. Like, I literally knew it, but I was like so nervous or whatever.
No, you're fine. I think that that's like, I want to say it's 1 Corinthians.
15. Yeah, press conference. Yep, yep. See, I literally knew that because I quoted it to somebody earlier. And now you put this little thing in front of me and now I don't even know what I'm talking about. But it's like, in that situation, people are like, maybe confused why I bring that up. It's kind of like, I'm trying to have good behavior.
Yeah.
The music's bad company.
Yeah.
Corrupting me. You know what I mean? So, whatever. So that's why I'm like, be careful to what you listen to, because you don't even know, like, the effects have on the spiritual side, whatever. Like, just be careful what you surround yourself around and what you listen to, and, like, you don't even know. But now I want to ask you, because we're, like, 30 minutes in. How did you get close to God, for the people that don't know?
Oof.
And I know this is, like, a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But if you had to give me just, like, a somewhat rundown, maybe, like a detail or two that you want to, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't have to be the full, like...
Listen, the people want the full story. Now,
all right, kidding. Then go ahead.
I'll just...
It's your world. I just live in it.
It's his world. We live in
there
it.
There you go. There you go.
I'll try to, you know, talk a little bit about it, and then, you know, like, if this keeps going, if we have more episodes, I'll get more into it.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just start with just, like, some real basic stuff, right? I started going to church when I was, I want to say, probably, like, 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I went until the age of, like, 11 to 12. And it was a good time. It brought, so my parents were basically, like, on the verge of separating.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought them close together. And they were, like, together and going to church. And my, you know, I want to put them on blast, but, you know, my dad, you know what? I think it can be more beneficial than hurtful, right? My dad, he had kind of a drinking problem, and it really settled down going to church. And he went from this very angry person to a much more compassionate guy. And my mom went from stressed and depressed to happy and vibrant. It was just beautiful. And I loved it. But my parents ended up splitting. And so, you know, they both stopped going to church.
Mm-hmm.
So from about, just say, like, right, if we want to even just be on the conservative side, but it could have been even sooner. Say at the age of 12, I stopped going to church completely. I would think about God. I would remember it. Because, I mean, I went through the whole thing. I got saved at probably age 11 and baptized at, like, age 11. Like, I did the whole thing. I was invested.
And how long did you go without, like, returning? Or, like,
yeah, I was going to guess. And you're good. No, you're good. You're good, though, because it's like, you know, your questions are going to help people understand. But I was going to get to it. So I did the whole thing. And for years, right? This is crazy. Imagine this. I wasn't going to church, but there was one habit I always kept, and it was praying before every meal.
W?
Since I was 11 years old, 11 years old, can I speak? 11 years old, I have prayed for every single one of my meals, and I'm 26 right now. Obviously, maybe a handful of times I miss it, but I really confidently say that I very passionately and very, like, just to it, like, it's just like a, it's now a habit. I will always pray for my meals. And I think it's just growing up from, like, a very wealthy family.
Yeah.
That I was always blessed. Like, I don't feel like, did we struggle? Yeah, but I always had food. But I remember my parents telling me about life outside of this country. And I mean, and even in this country, of people who don't have food,
yeah,
who don't have necessities. And to me, it, like, painted this picture in my head that, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm blessed. So every time I eat, I look at it like, one, this is God's blessing to me, and two, he's sustaining my life. It's like, it's a beautiful thing. So that never left.
Okay.
And so from the age of, like, we'll say 12, right, could be the last time I went to church, I wouldn't go back to church until, how old was I? I started going back in 2021.
Dang.
So, let's do some quick maths. I was 20, Jeez, bro, this is embarrassing. I don't know how old I was at the time.
Like 23?
I was like 23 or 24. I'm probably no, it was 24.
It's like 12 years.
Yeah.
Without going to church.
Yeah, like 12 years.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I went like 12, 13 years. I was like 20. I was like about 24. Like, okay, yeah, so like 12. Yeah, I was 24 years old. So I went 12 years without going to church.
Sheesh.
But what brought me back was I never struggled with anxiety. I had depression, and you know, I'll probably get into that more on like when we're not towards like the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But and also because I want to give you a chance, like, you know, obviously to weigh in, have some thoughts, and maybe give a little bit of your own story.
Yeah.
I never, like, I struggled with depression, but anxiety was something I didn't really struggle with. And I remember it was probably 23, and it hit me really hard. I got hit with the most worst crippling depression ever. It was bad, like panic attacks, couldn't sleep. I couldn't leave the house. I didn't want to leave my house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was just, it felt like my world was flipped upside down.
Yeah.
It was the worst feeling ever. And I felt so helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mom was like, when she saw me have my first panic attack, she started praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't prayed in so long, but it was the only thing she thought to do.
Wow.
Start praying for me. And listen, I don't know if this is, I think this is in the Bible. Like, or maybe it's not. I mean, I was just thinking it was in the Bible, like the prayers of a mother and powerful. Okay, that might just be something people say. I don't think it's in the Bible that I think about it. Okay. But that's very true. The powers of a mother are very powerful.
Mama Duke.
Yeah. And so it comforted me, actually. And I remember that I would have more panic attacks later.
Yeah.
But she one day was like, hey, I'm watching this church online. Your aunt goes there, and I'm like, what is it? She's like, it's this church. It's called Love Church. And she's like, and this guy's preaching. His name's Pastor Tony.
W. Tony.
Yeah. And what's it called? Yeah, I look up to him. He's one of my role models. Shout out to Tony.
He's a great guy.
He's got my name.
Yeah, he's not listening to this, but he's like, shout we look up to him more than he knows.
Shout out, Tony. But he has a great name. And, and it... And it basically, it comforted me, and I started to find peace in God. And I said to myself, I was like, I'm going to get the strength to go there in person. And I did. I started going, and it was amazing. And I started to feel more free. The weight and the chains of anxiety started to be lifted. And I'm telling you, it was hard because they couldn't really do anything, you know, like, you know, anxiety is that thing where, like, they can try to give you some pills and it will work or it won't work. You can try to go to therapy and it'll work or it won't work. There's no guarantee, and it's that's the frustrating thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's days where you'll be perfectly fine, and then there's days it just flips you on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is I found my stability in Christ. Mm-hmm. I found my happiness in Christ. I'm telling you how bad it was. It got so bad I couldn't drive more than 10 minutes because I would break down. I would start to hyperventilate and just out of nowhere for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was hard. I because there was just things like I didn't understand why. I'm like, why can't I like not do, you know, life got hard because I was like, you know, how frustrating is it when you can't drive anywhere, when you can't go anywhere far because you're limited to your illness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you feel defeated and like hopeless, but God brought that hope back for me, and He gave me that hope because I saw it. I was able to, you know, people wouldn't know it, and it's funny because I was so introverted before going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like talking to people, but nobody at the church would say that that's me. Yeah. Anyone who knows me at the church would not say that's me. But it's funny because that's exactly how I was before finding God.
Uh-huh.
I was the guy who liked to be in the back of the room, not talking to anybody.
Yep.
I liked looking and scanning the room, but not saying a word. I was okay with just being a background and just talking to like one or two people. That was my preference. And I completely changed because of it. And, you know, it was just God. It was just all God that like really moved me past that point. And, the crazy thing too, was that a bit of the story that's crazy, right? Is the way that God works, like, so along with the fact that I had all this anxiety, right? And if you can imagine me saying I couldn't even leave the house, you can't imagine me talking. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'll never forget, the pastor, Pastor Josh, shout out Pastor Josh, amazing guy. He preached on Romans 12, and he was talking about how we all have a role and how we're all called to things, mm-hmm. and how we're all, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he starts to touch on how we're all called to serve the church. Like, we all should, you know, contribute. And it really spoke to me. And so I got so hyped that I signed up. And so, like, the way it worked at the time, they do mm-hmm. it a little different now, but mm-hmm. at the time, the way they did it was, if you wanted to sign up for a team, you would put your name down for them, the things that you wanted, and you would rank them. You'd have to, like, pick a few out of them, and you'd rank them by, like, least favorite to favorite, mm-hmm. right? And so I was like, all right, well, I got to put something down. So I put down something that I absolutely did not want, and I ranked it at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it was the first time guests, like the first time greeters. Yeah. So it's like saying hi to everybody who's walking through the door. And that was at my bottom. And I was like, okay, hopefully I get security so I don't have to talk to anybody. Oh, yeah. Or like I could be like an usher so I could just like wave and like not have to say much or like whatever. I was literally like anything else. And of course, I get the first time greeters. And I get the first time greeters. And I remember the first time I was there, I literally just stood there and I just watched people. And it was like the most uncomfortable, awkward thing ever. And because, you know, like I said, I had just come off of being this antisocial, awkward guy.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm starting to like say hi to people, talk to people. People are starting to know my name. And so it's crazy the way God can transform you. Well, a part of why I brought that up too is because there was another thing that was bothering me, which is now I know God, I know the truth, and it's exciting, but the only person going is my mom, and she was just going to support me.
Yeah.
And it like it kind of had me down because my brother and sister weren't going to church. My stepdad wasn't going to church. And my mom was like, you know, so-so, right? But my brother especially worried me. He was very far from God. You know, and I won't get too much into his life because it's his testimony to share, but he was into some stuff that I was like, wow, like he's lost. Mm-hmm. And as I started to grow within the church, I started to get opportunity. You know, you mentioned him earlier, Ryan. W. Ryan gave me the chance to preach one day.
W.
After, and, you know, and it was a blessing. I was gonna preach at a house night, which, you know, for those who don't know, at our church, we have a young adults program. And we have something once a month, or it used to be once a month, called a house night. So it's like the big once a week thing that we, or sorry, one Sunday out of the month that we would do. And it would be like really big, and you know, it would be all hyped up. And so I'm going to preach at this, right? And so first of all, I'm mad nervous because I'm not a public speaker. And so I'm super nervous about it. And basically I invite my brother to come. Because I was like, okay, like it can't hurt to invite him to go. And this is why I say like this, you know, like I mean, telling this story before would bring me to tears. I mean, it's still like very special and dear to me, but you know, I'm gonna keep it together for the pod. But, you know, yeah. Like I said, that I would worry about my family. Well, crazy thing is that he went to that house night where I preached, and that night he gave his life to Christ. And I watched him get baptized and everything, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful to see how God moves, how he loves his people, and how he hears your prayers and how he cares. And this is to everybody who has somebody in their life right now that is not saved. Don't give up and don't stop praying for them. My brother was into he was, you know, drugs and, you know, and living a secular life. And yeah. It's crazy because I would be listening to Christian music and he would be blasting some music with like profanity. And like, the crazy thing is that it'd be so loud, I could hear it in my room and I'd be like, oh, this is terrible. Like I have to hear like 30 minutes of like somebody like cussing or like talking about women or like, I mean, dude, sometimes borderline demonic things. And like,
I love how you said you don't want to bring up his business. And now he's bringing up
his business. Well, okay. I mean, like, I felt like, cause I wanted to emphasize that, like, and I know. Right. Like, you know, but I wanted to emphasize it because if you're listening and you have a loved one, I want you to know that like,
yes,
anything is possible with God. Anything is possible. Nobody's too far gone to come to God. Yeah. Nobody is too far away. Nobody's too messed up. You have not sinned your way out of his grace.
Yeah.
He loves you. He wants you to come to him. And I am a testament to that. My brother is. And there's still people right now that I'm praying for to change. But I don't give up on them. And it takes time. It's not on our time. Remember, something I learned, right, in this time of growth, beautiful thing. I say it a lot now, which is right message, wrong messenger. Sometimes you have the right message and you're just not the messenger for it. And it really hit me because I would be like, but I said everything right. Why didn't it work? And it's just, I'm not the messenger.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that's going to get it through to the person, but don't lose hope in that. Yeah. Like, don't lose hope in God doing what he needs to do. Just remember, you just got to give that message and the right person's going to tell them. If it isn't you, just have faith, plant the seeds, you know, let those seeds be watered by the Spirit and don't give up. So that's just like a really short version of my testimony, not to get too much into it. I probably went off for like 15 minutes. I just said that's the short version of the story. But listen, if you're going to learn anything about me, I could talk for hours. Yeah, so like that is your short version.
That's a professional yapper right
there. All right, bro. All right, Mr. Japanese, go ahead and take it away.
All right, so I got 30 seconds left.
All right, bro.
No, I'm joking. No, that's cool. Well, it's cool. It's cool to see how that came full circle for you. And I have a question. I might not ask you this episode. We'll see. Okay. But I'm not going to waste time. For me, I was much different. I was born and raised in the church.
Yeah.
Like, earliest memories in the church every Sunday, whether I liked to or not as a kid. Like, my parents was not playing about that. They was fully in their walks and, you know, just like earliest memories born in the church. From like the ages of like till I spawned in, like from zero to like
spawned in.
Yeah, from like zero to 18 in church. Like that's all I knew. And I felt like I was a kid that like I took Sunday school seriously. I liked it. You know, it's beautiful. I felt like I would try to live out my life based on what I heard and stuff like that. Like I got baptized at like what, 13 or something. Like,
wow.
Don't even think, because like looking back at it, it wasn't even because like I loved it. It's just like, oh my gosh, they're in the pool and like they're cool. Like I want to be there too. You know what I mean? But like that's what I was. So when I hit like high school, I feel like I didn't really get the full high school experience because for three years, and I don't want to sound like ugly when I say this, like I was just kind of like a background character. Like I had no real friend group. I didn't really like girls friends. Like I was just like more like I was just a guy like you talk to if you're at school, but like we're not really like outside of school. So like I didn't get invited to no parties, no nothing, like not really anything until like senior year.
Yeah.
Senior year is like when I found a friend group, found some great friends, some bad friends, you know, was like pursuing all these wrong things, whatever. And that, okay, I don't want to ramble too much. I feel like I'm rambling. But one thing I remember I would kind of like secretly boast about is like, oh, look at me. Like I'm the only one that I know that like goes to church every Sunday. Out of all my friends in high school, like I'm the only one. Like I'm 18, I go to church on Sunday. Like I was putting myself on a fake pedestal because of that. And then to fast forward, COVID happened, churches shut down, and my relationship, any bit of relationship I had with God, which at the time was almost none, I just didn't think so, shut down with it. Like it was gone completely with the church.
Weird time, bro. The pandemic was like it doesn't seem real sometimes that we live through that. Like
and it happened, whatever. We move. It sucks. Hate it. Whatever. Fast forward, okay, like, you know, they open back up again. You're able to go to church again. And I for some reason just got so comfortable in this habit of like, no, I like my full weekends now. Like, you know, I haven't had a Sunday where I get to just do anything like in years, bro. Like, you know, it's nice having like a full weekend, Saturday and Sunday off from whatever. Like, no, I'm good. I'll go eventually. I'll go next week. And that just happened, like ended up happening for like so long. I literally got comfortable not going to church. And then I kind of realized like, I really don't have a relationship with God. All I did was go to church. That's it. It kind of put me in my place. And it was like 2021, 2022. Dude. Darkest years of my life, like by far darkest. And you know this, so it's funny repeating. You know, darkest years of my life.
Acting like it's my first time.
Darkest years of my life. I gained a crazy amount of weight. My insecurity shot up through the roof. It's like everything that I had positive about me shot down and all the negative shot up.
Listen, I know like this is just a random fact of the story, but I really want you to like bring it home, bro. Like, tell us how much did you get to in weight? I really want you to give people hope in this, man.
Dude, I was like the heaviest I ever saw myself. Dude, why are you doing this? No.
Yeah, listen, by the way, he's handsome, so I don't know why he's embarrassed right now. You know, he's far from what he used to be.
Oh, thank you for the preface. I was like, dude, I think the heaviest I ever saw myself was like 280.
Wow.
Like, I saw myself.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like, it was bad. And this is like, yeah, it was bad. I'm not going to go into it. But, all right, to fast forward, because I don't want to ramble too long. Yeah, 2021 and 2022 were like darkest years because I didn't have God in my life. I had everything else. You know, I had a good relationship. At the time, I had a solid relationship. You know, I had, you know, good job, you know, good family support. Like, I had everything but God, and my life was at an all-time rock bottom. Like, I was kind of like you when you said, like, I hated being outside for longer than 10 minutes. I hated even looking in the mirror because I was like, bro, I'm so disgusted with who I've become. Like, I don't even recognize myself. Like any bit of, like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I'm not totally ugly. Like, oh, I'm kind of handsome today. Like, no, none of that. I didn't have a day like that for years. Sheesh. Like, I kid you not. I hated who I became. Like, my life was in a dark place, and what brought it home, what brought everything home that I was like, all right, I need to do something, is I got invited. This is how bad it was. I didn't even get invited. My friend, Maine,
oh, wow.
And I just dropped another name, but I don't even care. He got invited to a Halloween party. And I was like, oh, can my boy Carlos come? And they were like, sure. So I wasn't even the main invite. I was just like an honorary plus one. And what happened was, we ended up going to this party. And by the way, this is like a side fun fact. So it's my show. I'm going to say it. I'm going to take up all the time I want. It is so funny to see how God like tries to warn you and tries to talk to you. But when you're so far away from him, like, you don't understand the language. Like, looking back at it, there were some clear signs not to go to this party. But I was just like in my ways. I was like, nah, just push through it. Like, I remember one of the signs where, like, me and this guy hopped in my car when I picked him up to go to this party. And we hopped in the car and we, like, looked at each other. And, like, one of the first things that we kind of just said were, like, we both don't feel like going to this party right now. We both were like, nah, I don't want to go to this party. Like, we literally were like, bro, we don't know what happened. Like, an hour ago, we were so ready. And now that we're here, like, it's, like, almost, it's almost, like, I feel like one of us said it. Like, almost is, like, something is telling us not to go.
Wow.
And we both were like, dude, like, should we just go home? Like, I'm kind of down to just go home at this point. And he was, we were just like, bro, we haven't gone out in so long. Like, come on, bro. You haven't been in, like, a social setting in so long. Come on, let's go. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's go. But it's crazy. That's like number one. That's like one moment where it's like, I felt like if I was close, I can't even speak. I felt like if I was closer with God, I would have recognized that, like, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something. So we end up going to this party, and basically, to fast forward, and I've said that like 5 times, I walk into this place, and it's a room full of people who hate my guts, like people who want to like cause as much physical damage as they can to me, because, you know, I'm not perfect. I've made some enemies in my time. You know, I've gotten in a fight or two and made some enemies and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I want to say, thanks to God I won those, but, like, I don't even know if I should. But, yeah, so it was a room full of people who, like, swore the next time they saw me, it was over for me, and this is going to happen to me. And I remember, like, thinking to myself, like, oh, my, like, wow, like, today is my day. I am going down today. And I walked in this apartment, room full of people, like, all staring at me that absolutely hate my guts. And I remember, like, oh, wow, okay, my time has come. So I instantly walk out because I'm not no macho man, right? I'm not the tough guy. Like, I'm outnumbered, like 10 to 1 or, like, 10 to 2. Sheesh. Like, I'm like, this is, like, I'm not Superman here, okay? I don't care how good I can fight or how bad I can. Like, I'm not Superman.
So I leave, and this is how quick I left. I left, and I didn't even tell my friend I was leaving. He just caught up with me, and he was like, "Dude, where are you going? Come on!" I was like, "Dude, I can't stay in this room. If I stay here, like, it's gonna go down. You know, it's not gonna end up pretty. We're gonna break a lot of stuff. Like, things aren't gonna go pretty." And me and him are both walking away, and I'm gonna throw some blame on him because he's accepted it, but it's not all his blame because at the end of the day, I had a final choice. We're walking away, and we're walking back to my car, and we're just talking about how bad we look. It's really him, actually. I don't care. It's really him. I'll be honest. It's really him. He's telling me, like, bro, why would you just do that? We look so bad. Like, we look like we're so scared. Like, we just saw them and got scared and left, and now they're cowards and blah, 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 blah. At this time, I did not care. I could care less. But he was, you know, because, like, he knew more people in the room than I did. He's like, bro, we just look bad. Like, oh, my gosh. And then so he got me to a point where I was so mad that I looked at him, and I was like, what do you want to do right now? Do you want to walk back in there and, like, throw hands and mess them up? Like, what do you want to do? And then he looked at me, he was like, I mean, yeah, kind of. And I was like, fine, let's do it. Which is, like, not all the blame on him. He knows he wasn't the best influence, but as a man, like, at the end of the day, I had the final choice to, like, you know what I'm saying? I could have kept going and be like, I don't care, what you can complain all you want, I'm not going back in there because I know it's not smart. Obviously made the not smart choice decision, and I'll never forget this. It rather gets Holy Spirit moment part two, but I just didn't recognize the language. We were walking to my car. We made that plan, whatever, fine. I was like, all right, fine, let's turn around, let's go. We turned around. The minute I turned, I'll never forget, the second I turned around, something, like, made me stop moving. Like, I stopped moving, and I just had, like, a moment where, like, I just froze, and I felt like something told me, like, okay, you just made a choice, and now you're about to reap the consequences that follow this choice. Like, wow. It's like one of the weirdest things it's had. It's like a one-on-one moment for me. Like, something, like, kind of just told me, like, things are going to happen from this decision. And, like, I just didn't care to listen. It literally stopped me, and I was like, what was that? Like, whatever, bro. Like, just keep moving. I didn't even think. I was trying to prepare for fight mode. We hashed this plan. You know, he's going to come outside, draw the person outside. Because it was really one person I had a problem with. The rest of them were just, like, his little goons. Like, his little, like, you know what I'm saying? His little friends.
Yeah.
And it was just one person, like, I truly had a problem with. So our plan was to, like, my friend was to go inside, get him to come outside, and we do a little business and then whatever. Ended up being, like, this big group fight. Skipping more details, blah, blah, blah. It's, like, ended up being, like, a 5v2. Like, me and my friend were, like, five guys. Sheesh. And, you know, things happened from that fight, whatever. Somehow, I don't know, maybe God's favor was upon me, whatever, because, like, you know, somehow we left that unscathed. Like, we put a lot of... I'm not even trying to boast right now. Like, it just sounds like I'm flexing, but I'm not... Yes, in my eyes, we won. Like, I want to talk about it. We won that. I don't know how we won that, but we won that. It was 2v5, and somehow we won. Like, I don't get it. Like, I accomplished my mission. I hurt the guy I wanted to hurt very badly, and other people, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I left with no damage on my... Like, not I didn't take a... It was bad. It was weird. And, boom. This is where everything went wrong, and those feelings I should have listened to, because the next day I get a call from the police saying, like, they have my name, they know what happened, like, they want me to come into the station for questioning and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it was bad, because I've never been in serious trouble before, ever, like, not even close. And now I have cops telling me, like, they have my name, they know what happened, they want me to come in and answer some questions, blah, 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 blah. I refuse to go in for questioning. And I get another phone call saying, because I'm refusing, now I have a warrant out for my arrest and blah, 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 blah. But, like, they're telling me, like, they can't come get me because they're not in my county, and the party happened in a different county than when I live. And I was just like, oh, yeah, ha, 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 ha. Like, yeah, that sucks for y'all, whatever, I'm good. Because I thought that, like, when you have a warrant out for your arrest, like, because he said it, like, just don't get pulled over or else they're going to see it in the system. I thought I was good. I'm like, all right, I just won't get pulled over. I have a warrant out for my arrest. But I see people in cop shows that be like, bro, you have a warrant from, like, a year ago in, like, a different state. Like, I'd be thinking, like, oh, I'm good. Just don't get in no trouble, which I don't normally get in, so I'm good.
You usually see how those end, by the way.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah. I thought I had all the time in the world. I was like, I'm good, whatever. Just don't get in no cop trouble. I'm good. I'm still kind of scared, though. But I didn't have time to, like, really process everything, because in a couple hours after that, I'm in my basement with said friend, just talking everything and talking about everything. And there's, like, a knock on my door, and then my mom just yells from the top of the stairs, like, Carlos, like, there's cops at the door looking for you. Boy, and she already knows, by the way. Like, at this point, they already told him everything, the fight I got into, what's going on. They already know. They just, at this point, it threw me off, because I'm like, whoa, there's cops at the door for me? Nah.
my friend told me, like, bro, throw on shoes, like, they're gonna take you. And I was like, what? I was like, what? No, they're not. And boom, I answered the door. They're like, you Carlos? I was like, yeah. As soon as I said yes, bro, no hesitation. They threw their arms out, grabbed me, pulled me, you know, threw me in the cuffs in front of my parents and all this stuff. And I didn't have shoes on. And they
put your shoes on.
Yeah, I should have put my shoes on. I should have listened. Yeah, I get a pair of shoes and blah, 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 put them on, and I get arrested. Now, you know, they dragging me to a what do you call it? Like, where you get booked and processed and stuff like that, mugshot and all that, thumbprint. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what you call it.
Like the booking process? Like,
that little bit, whatever.
Intake,
like the county jail, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so
leading from 21 to 22, being dark, I guess looking back, probably depressed, insecure, lashing out on people. Like, I was just the worst, darkest, furthest I've ever been from God in my life. And then top it all off, like, to hit the icing on the cake, I'm in a jail cell. I'm 20, how old was I at this point? 21, 20, 21, 22 maybe? No, I'm like, whatever. I think I'm freshly 22. Okay. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But now it's like the icing on the cake of like these last 2 years is, wow, like I am in a jail cell with other people. Like there's a crackhead next to me. Like I'm not even joking. Like there's like, I'm in a jail cell and this is where my life is. And like, it was such a rock bottom moment for me. And knowing the thing that made it really bad is like at the time they were trying to charge me with felonies because like how bad the damages were and whatever. Like I was really scared. I'm a kid who'd never been in trouble before. Now I got like, I'm facing multiple felonies for like a stupid fight. Sheesh. I'm facing multiple felonies and I am scared beyond my life. I can't go to sleep. I eventually get bailed out. And luckily, like the magistrate like had mercy on me and like he decided, because he was the guy who decided if I get bailed. My things were so serious that I wasn't guaranteed a bail. He was supposed to look at me and decide like, all right, am I willing to bail you out or not? And luckily, my dad showed up and he talked to my dad and he said, you know, my dad's a very good guy and he's vouching for me, like he's gonna let me go. Even though he literally said like 85% of the time they do not let people go with the charges I'm being charged. So I would have to stay in prison for like a month or two until my court case.
Listen.
Mr. Carlos's dad, he got it like that. He got pulled around these parts. If y'all don't know who he is, y'all know who he is.
Yeah. And so now this is what like leads me to finally go back into church, is because dude, that it was like mental health for me. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't just operate. I was barely operating and I couldn't even do that because like I'm so scared of like what the court is gonna say. If they're gonna find me guilty, am I gonna have to do prison time? Like I'm so scared that like I couldn't have no peace. I had no nothing. Like, I was anxious. I had all these things I've never had before, and all from my deep roots of growing up in the church, like all I knew was just like I just have to get in church. Like if anything's gonna make me feel better, like I just have to go. I don't know why. I don't know how to explain it. Like let me just get in church. Where's that church I used to go to? Where are they located? You know, boom, show up Sunday, first time in like a week or two, like I felt so much better about my situation, and ultimately I just stuck with it, and that's where I met all you guys, and like, hey, you know what I'm saying, like, yeah, and now here I am filming a podcast at midnight. Basically it's been like an hour.
Crazy how two crazy stories come together and then they meet.
Look at us, bro. Look at us. Who would have thought? Look at us.
Well, listen, I think we're at a good point to wrap it up.
We could have called it 30 minutes ago.
I think we're at a good wrap up point, but I just wanted to close out by saying something. First of all, thank you if you made it to this point of the podcast. You're amazing.
Dad, thank you.
Thank you for everybody who actually listened to this whole thing. And I just want to say, from the bottom of my heart, we're really grateful. And, you know, because your time is valuable. It's precious. And one thing I want to leave you guys with today is something positive, right? Mm. Whatever you can take from this, take it. You know, learn from the mistakes that other people have made. Mm. And, you know, take it and don't repeat them. And, you know, if there's anything I want to leave you guys with today, it's that God loves you. Jesus loves you. Sir. God is amazing. He loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And I just want to, you know, close you guys out in a nice little prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And if any of you have never received Jesus, you know, go to a church, go somewhere. Shoot, hit me up if you want to. I'm definitely always here. And just remember, it's nothing complicated. You know, everyone always thinks they got to, you know, do a 180 in their life to come to Jesus. No, like, time to come to Jesus is when you know you need him, when you're down bad, right? All it is believing in him as your Lord and Savior. Rose again 3 days later. If you believe that, you're saved. If you believe that you need a Savior and that Savior is Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But anyways, guys, thank you for listening.
And, wait, before you get into the prayer to end it, because, like, we're going to stop right after you're done praying.
Okay,
but I just wanted to add to, like, when you're listening to us, or, like, you know, when people like, if we drop more episodes or, like, whatever you want to call it, like, we don't want you to look at us as like, oh my gosh, these guys are like so much better than me. We like, no, like, I am not better than any one of you guys. I'm dirty, I'm rotten, I'm broken, I'm a sinner. Like, if that's how you feel, that's how we feel. Like, that we're not better than anyone. I don't want people to listen to this and, like, if I somehow drop a gem, like, you know what I'm saying? If the Holy Spirit speaks and drops a gem, great. It came out of my mouth, fantastic. Like, I'm probably just as surprised as you are. But, like, I don't want people to, like, just, you know, think, like, you know, they're doing so good and they're talking about this stuff and, like, oh, they used to struggle with this. That means they don't anymore. Like, no, like, I want this to be, like, relatable. Like, I want to show people that, like, I'm not better than you. I'm not better than you in the slightest. I go through the same things you go through, if not worse. Like, I just want this to be relatable. I don't want people to look at us like we're some, like, standout role models that I'm trying to be. I'm trying to get there. But, like, this is me actively talking about getting there. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Amen. I don't want people to look at me, and I don't want people to think this is going to be, like, a sermon. Like, you know, we're going to open up and talk about breakups and, you know, open up your books to Mark chapter 3. Like, no, like, this is just an open conversation
between friends. I'm still not opposed to that idea.
I'm just, like, you know what I'm trying to say? This open conversation. I'm not better than anyone. We're not better than anyone. If you cracked a smile, perfect. If you got to know something about Jesus, great. If you dropped a little gem that maybe you can relate to, I'm so happy and everything that is in. So we're done talking. We're going to close out with a prayer. Go ahead, Tony.
All right, guys. Thank you for all you guys who have listened once again. Thank you for tuning in.
The three people.
I hope we get all your support. And if we do get a good enough amount of support, there will be an episode 2 coming. So anyways, without further ado, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another beautiful night that you have given us and day. Wherever the person who's driving or listening to this, whatever they're doing, God, whatever point in time, since you're omnipotent and omnipresent and just, you know, you're available in all times, God, doesn't matter at what point this person's listening, you're listening to them, God. You're with them, Lord. I just pray that this person has a good day, a good night, that they seek you out more in their lives, God. Everything we do, let it be to glorify you, God. And thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to even be able to speak about you, Lord. And thank you for all these beautiful people that got to listen to us. Let them all be blessed. And if they don't know you, God, let them draw closer and get to know you. And if they do know you, but they've been far away, Lord, as you know, you tell us in the prodigal son, you're waiting for them to come back home. So with that being said, Lord, I just pray everybody who listens to this be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.